Hey everyone, welcome to the Naughty Shaman Podcast. I'm your host, Natalie Carlisle, and I can't wait to dive in to a world where the sacred meets the wild and keeps things totally real. In each episode, we are going to dive into what it truly means to live a radiant life that is unapologetically real. And if you're ready to get started, so am I. Hello, everybody. This is Natalie Carlisle, and I am so grateful that you're joining the Naughty Shaman Podcast, where we like to keep the sacred a little bit wild and totally real. And I can't wait to share tonight's topic with you because it is one that is near and dear to my heart. Tonight, we are going to be talking about low self-worth and how to overcome it. So for many of us that are running around in the world today, and especially those of us who are in this Western North American culture, many of us struggle with this wound of not feeling like we are enough, not feeling like we add enough value. And I want to deconstruct this whole idea of self-worth, self-esteem, so that we can begin to understand how to rebuild it. The reason I'm so passionate about this topic is because it is one of the greatest hurdles in my personal life. It is one of the greatest hurdles that I see in so many of my clients. And it's one of the most common things that I see troubling Dharma school students or personal clients. And so this idea of self-worth and how we can develop a sense of worthiness is really critical for how we experience life and relationships and our finances and just being on the planet. So let's dive in. When we talk about self-worth and self-esteem, I want you to think if any of these characteristics ring your bell. So have you ever been a person that when given a compliment, it tries to deflect it, just deflects that, like, oh no, it wasn't me, or oh, it was the team, or oh, that was nothing. That's a dismissive act that can sometimes be an indicator of low self-esteem rearing its ugly head. Another one, do you ever notice that you're a person that has struggle setting and keeping boundaries? Is it hard for you to set boundaries with people and say, no, thank you. That's not how we're going to do this meeting. We're going to have it this way instead. Or actually, no, I can't stay late because I need to get home to my family. Or yes, I need you to stay late because it is something that we agreed upon in your employment contract. Those conversations are so difficult for someone who's wrestling with low self-worth in the moment. A couple others that should sound familiar. If you're experiencing a low mood and you just feel blasé or worse, then probably self-worth is at the root of that. People with low self-worth have struggles with anxiety because of the never feel good enough. We have struggles with managing time. We have struggles with concentration. We have struggles with so many things when we're caught in the mood of low self-worth. And so now if you've really gotten to understand, yeah, that could be me, I want you to take a breath because now you can name it. And this is one of the things that we have to do on our personal growth journey is be able to understand what we are experiencing emotionally, intellectually, physically, energetically. We need to be able to understand that and have some distinctions, be able to name our experiences as a human being. And so this experience of low self-worth, sometimes mixed in with low self-esteem, can be really common. And it doesn't mean that it's a chronic problem for you. It can be caught up in the mood of low self-worth. And then tomorrow will be different. So let's talk about the difference between self-esteem and self-worth. So self-esteem is essentially the assessment that you deserve to be treated well and that you deserve respect. This is the idea of self-esteem, is that you can hold yourself in some esteem and understand how you want to be treated. Now, self-worth is a little bit deeper. Feeling worthy as a human being gets to the nature of the soul. It gets right down there in our truthy bits about, do I feel necessary here on the planet? Do I feel like my existence is valuable? Do I feel that I can hold myself in a high or a favorable light and know that I am worthy of great things? Know that I'm worthy of good things. There's a deep soulful nature to self-worth that can often get damaged somewhere in our youth, either through our culture, learning that women are not as valuable as men, learning that in our family of origin, learning that the color of our skin isn't as valuable as another, learning that the money that our family has doesn't make us as valuable as other people on the planet. And so many of these lessons just creep in insidiously when we're young. It's not like anyone sits us down and says, hey, you don't add any value. Sometimes they do. That happened to me once and it was heartbreaking. But most of the time it happens insidiously, kind of in the culture, in the air that we breathe. We learn these lessons and they can be so tragic in our love lives and in our relationship with money, in our relationship with energy, and in our relationship with the whole planet. And so some things that can cause us to lose it, to lose our self-worth, to lose this idea that we're valuable, is obviously if someone has told you, you had no value, you are no good, you are bad, anything like that. Being told those hard, hard things, we sometimes in our youth can believe them to be true. And even in our adulthood, we can learn them to be true. If our self-worth has been wounded, what will happen is when we hear people give us constructive criticism, for instance, someone says to you, next time you do that presentation, I think it would be better if you added in a slide that said XYZ, or I think it would be better if you used fewer words on a slide, or if you introduced it with a story. A person that has a wound in their self-worth will hear that constructive criticism and it will feel personal. It will feel as if they have said to you, you are no good. Most people don't get feedback like that. I can't tell you how many times that I've been sitting in my office across from someone who has said to me, and then my boss basically told me that I was no good to the entire organization. Now, I've worked with a lot of leaders around the world, and I rarely, once, maybe my whole life, have I ever heard a story of a leader or a manager literally telling someone that works for them, you are no good, you are bad. That's such a foreign idea in most organizations. So what I've learned to do is really ask this person who is wounded in their worthy bits, right? That hurts when you get criticism. So with that wound, we can exaggerate and hear things that are not exactly happening. We're getting criticized for the presentation, not criticized personally. So when our wound is around this low self-worth, we can take criticism so personally. So if you're one of those people, then know, oh, that's just because I have a wounded self-worth. Another way that we can lose our sense of worth is in comparing. And nothing sets us up for low self-worth than social media. Nothing sets us up better for continuing to scratch that wound open of low self-worth by getting on social media and beginning to compare our lives to the shiny little tidbits that people share online. It's terrible for folks that have a wounded sense of self-worth. And I recommend that if you are feeling sensitive to that, that you stop going on social media for a period of time, because that comparison to the people around you, people your age, people that are younger than you, people that are older than you, people that look different than you, all these things, that comparison will not only strip you of joy, which is one of the most popular memes going around right now, but what comparison really does is it strips away, it peels away at what remains of our self-worth. And that is a valuable, precious gold. So it's like someone chipping away at that gold that we have inherently, because we were born at this time and in this place and with these gifts and with these ideas and with this personality. Our self-worth is something to hang on to. I told a client the other day, I was like, you've got to hang on to that like a stripper pole. Because I was talking to this other client who had to spend some time dancing. And she was like, whatever you do, this is what we train the young girls. Whatever you do on stage, you don't let go of the pole. And that made me chuckle. So anyway, you've got to hold on to your self-worth like that. You've got to hold on for dear life, because it is so fragile and it is so precious and it is so important to our experience in life. Other ways that we can wound our sense of self-worth is by our own inner critic and believing that critical voice inside of us that we all have. And it can be, there can be days when that critic inside of us can be so persuasive and noisy, and we can believe that that critic inside of us is telling us the truth, that we are lazy, that we are awful, that we're never going to amount to anything, whatever, that we're too old, that we're too young, that we're too fat, that we're too thin. That voice has so much to say, and it likes to pick fights. And we all have this inner critical voice. In biological sciences, we can call that something like the default mode network. When our mind is at rest and you're staring out the window, it'll go la 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 for a moment, but then wired in to our primordial parts of our brains, back in our amygdala, back in the other parts of our brains, is this program that will start to run fight or flight mechanisms. It'll start to run fight or flight scenarios so that we can survive. It's this old survival mechanism that we have woven into our neurology. Isn't that wild? Dr. Rebecca Akabchuk taught me that. And I was like, you've got to be kidding. And she said, no, it's natural for us to have these negative thoughts about ourselves, these negative thoughts about the world around us, because there's this part of our brain still trying to keep us alive, you know, in a time when we could be hunted and killed, or rocks could fall on our heads, or whatever, saber-toothed tigers come after us. So we have this ancient part of our brain that gets activated when our mind begins to rest. And that's just something called the default mode network. So literally, you have permission, knowing this, you have permission now to notice those critical thoughts about yourself and say, oh, that's just this weird reptilian brain thing that's left over. Like, all those are echoes of my ancestors' ancestors' ancestors and the thoughts they needed to have to survive. But those are not the thoughts necessary for me in this life. So we have to begin to recognize that those critical thoughts are like a bad program, like a bad computer virus, just running softly in the background, and that it does not constitute truth. That inner critic does not speak in truths. It speaks from a place of a primordial sense of survival. It's the echo of our ancestors and their fear. And that's all. So you have my permission now, if you needed it, to just say, got it. This is just my ancestors from long ago, a little echo of whisper of the old programming that kept them alive. Thank you, namaste, and buzz off. So those are the things that can rob us, you know, literally being told in an environment where there's some level of emotional abuse that you are worthless, being told something along those lines verbally can really obviously damage our sense of self-worth, but also comparing and also not recognizing this default mode network as something that's natural, a part of everyone's experience, not just you, and that it isn't real. So these are the things that can really start to chip away at that gold inside of us. So how do we get it back when you're stuck in this place of feeling unworthy? And it's so strange. I just went through another bout of it and I'm going through it, rolling my eyes like, really? You again, this old friend of low self-worth? Why are you here? I've been working on you since I can remember. I've been working on overcoming this since I can remember. And I still have that little inner critic that says, you know, nothing you do is really any good. And it's amazing how it can paralyze me still. So I really had to dive into these skills of how to overcome them over the last couple of days so that I could get back to functioning like I like to function in the world and being who I like to be in the world. And I wanted to share these things with you. So how do you overcome this? First, you need to know that self-worth is about a few things. There's this self-worth theory that's out there. You can find it in like Psychology Today magazines is where I found it. And I loved this idea that it's really based in three or four different things. Our sense of self-worth, we derive it from what we assess is our ability or what we assess is our inability. So when that little inner critic is like, oh, you can't run a business. You don't know what you're doing. It's hitting me right in my ability. It's saying you're not able to do this. And then it goes downward spiral from there. When self-worth is functioning, we trust in ourselves and we trust in our abilities. And this is the gift of, it's the skill that we have to develop, trust in our ability to learn new things. That's it. This is how we get out. This is how we get our self-worth back, is begin to trust in our ability to learn new things, to trust in our own abilities. And if we don't have that ability, to trust that we can learn it, if it's necessary. It might never become necessary. Mm-hmm. I remember when I got divorced, I lived in the big house for a while just to preserve the kids' world so it didn't get, you know, too upset by the whole thing. And I had not used the weed whacker. I did not know how to start the lawn tractor. And I just remember thinking while I was out in the yard crying over the weed whacker, my neighbor had to come over and help me. And I was so embarrassed. And my kids are crying inside because I haven't been with them for 2 hours because I've been trying to learn how to use the lawn equipment. All I could think about was my default mode network was going, you're a loser. You don't have the ability to run this house by yourself. You might as well throw in the towel now and go be homeless because all you can handle. I mean, it was vicious. And so that's an example of ability, or when we perceive lack of ability in ourselves, it can activate that wound. So the fix is to start to assess our ability in a positive light. Like, we are able. If you really look 100%, am I able? Yes, I'm able to learn how to use a damn weed whacker. I'm also able to call up a friend or hire somebody to mow my lawn for me. I'm able to do all of those things. So the potential, the possibility, and my ability is quite large. And we have to keep our eyes on that. So ability is one way to recall our self-worth. The other way that we can recall that is to put ourselves in a situation where we know we perform well. So if you know you bake chocolate cupcakes better than anybody else and you've got a low mood going on because you feel not worthy, go do that thing. Even if it's weird, go do that thing that you know you're good at. For instance, when I'm teaching Dharma school, or I am with a client, or I'm in any way doing a podcast, or I'm in any way doing my Dharma, any way doing what I love, what I know I'm good at, then my self-worth shoots right up and my mood elevates, my physical experience of life elevates, everything elevates. How I treat people, how they treat me, everything gets better. When we have low self-worth, the world can seem to collapse in on us because people don't know how to respond and we tend to shy away from them to exclude ourselves from situations and isolate. So the other way that we can boost our self-worth is to go do the thing that you know you're good at. Maybe that's running. Maybe that's lifting heavy things over your head. Maybe it's taking photographs, writing poetry, drinking coffee, staring out a window, naming the birds that are outside. Do something you know you're good at. And that will start to reverse the downward slide of low self-worth. The other thing that can really kick our butts when we are falling down the slope is this idea of effort. We have to turn around the assessment that we can't do anything about it, that every effort we make is in vain. And that is a trap to take us down the dumps in terms of low self-worth. So to turn that around, the flip side of that is to really begin to understand that it takes effort to create self-worth. So if you're wallowing under your sheets, feeling like a victim and sorry for yourself, and girl, I've been there, I know that place, and I expect some magical deus ex machina to fall down from the ceiling and save me from this terrible situation or whatever is going on in my brain, and it doesn't happen. The way to get out of the sense of low self-value or low self-worth is to take action. We have to take action. We have to make an effort, whether that's to brush your teeth and put on makeup today, or brush your teeth, put on clean clothes, shower, go outside, schedule coffee with a neighbor, to make an effort to do that thing that we are good at, to make an effort to make a choice that will make us feel proud of ourselves. When we make small choices that make us proud of ourselves, we massively reverse the train of low self-worth. We're turning it now into this sense of positive, worthy, delightful, abundant self. But we have to make an effort. It doesn't happen with a magic pill. We have to do something in our behavior, in our mindset. We have to do something different. We have to make a choice that makes us feel proud of who we are. Sometimes what I'll do is I'll phone a friend. If I'm feeling bad, I'll phone a friend and ask, how are you doing? Because I know I'm an excellent listener. And after I get off of the phone listening to this person that may be having a bad day, might be having whatever kind of day, because I was using a skill of listening and I know I'm great at that, I feel better. And so this person sharing their lives with me is giving me the great gift of being a listener, which is something that gives me self-value. Are you with me? Okay, got it. So the other thing I want to talk about, I talked about it a little, is this idea of making choices that make us feel proud of ourselves. You know, there have been plenty of times that I've been caught in really the last year off and on, I've been caught in a place of questioning my worthiness and turned to my good friend Ben and Jerry's to talk it over. And that feels so great in the moment. But what it then creates is what Brené Brown would call a shame spiral. And the shame spiral is this idea of doing something that we're not proud of, making a choice that we're not proud of, and then starting to kick yourself over and over and over again for choosing it. And not breaking that spiral can be really detrimental to our sense of self. And so then our self-worth gets worse. And can you hear the spiral? It just goes down and gets worse. Then we make choices that make us feel bad. So the way to turn that around is to make a choice that makes you feel proud of yourself. The other night, one of the things I did, I cooked a wonderful meal for myself. Everybody is out right now. I don't have any kids at home. I don't have any friends staying over. So I have the whole house to myself. And I cooked myself an amazing dinner. I lit some candles, I put on some Motown, and I ate at the table like a damn grown-up instead of on the couch, which happens so much when you live alone. So I felt so proud of myself for my clean kitchen, my yummy food, the beautiful setting, the beautiful environment, and I was receiving my own kindness. How many times have I done that for other people, made an amazing meal and lit candles and put on great music? Every time someone comes over to eat, I do that. And now I was doing it for me, just receiving my own kindness. And it made me feel proud of myself because I could feel the love and support that I usually give to others. I could feel how powerful that was because I was giving it to me. And that made me feel like proud of myself, not in an egotistical way, because we get mixed up in our brains about, oh, pride's bad. You don't want to be proud of yourself because you'll get too big for your britches. Bullshit. That's only for people that have like really healthy self-esteem. If they continue to go down that road, they'll become, you know, egotistical freakouts. But that's not someone who struggles with low self-worth. If you struggle with low self-worth, you need those moments of pride. So it's reversed. Some of the spiritual teachings of humility and no boundaries is a bunch of bullshit for people that struggle with self-worth and self-esteem. You absolutely need to develop a healthy ego first. First, we need that healthy ego, that sense of I'm valuable here. I'm necessary on the planet just because of who I am. We need that. Here are some pitfalls. This is the last little bit that I want to talk to you about. There are some pitfalls with the self-worth thing. Lord knows I'm intimate with it all. So we learn in our culture often and through our families that you can feel good about yourself if you're good looking. Our appearance. You can feel good about yourself and have a sense of value if you have a high net worth, if you have a lot of money in the bank. Or a good job or a good salary, then you can have good value. You are valuable. Yikes. That's attachment. You know, that's that your value is linked to your checking account. You can feel valuable because of your title on your job or because you're married or because you have kids or because you're gay or because you're straight or because you're rainbow. We learn that some of these things are more valuable than others. And then we tend to link, especially when we're young, link our worthiness to these outdated notions. In many ways, it's the old masculine paradigm of living. If you can win in a competition, you have more money than the next person, you are stronger, healthier, better looking than the other person. If you continuously compare yourself to other people and then you come out on top, then you deserve to feel worthy of who you are. And man, that is an outdated and harmful, harmful way to assess your value on the planet. And now things are changing. We're here in the time of the Kali Yuga, the Pachakuti, the time of things changing. And a more feminine intelligence is coming into the planet. And so as the more feminine intelligence comes in and higher states of consciousness, here are some ways that you can begin to develop your sense of worth differently than those old markers. So the new markers for self-worth is, how aligned are you living with your own values? With your values, not the values of your culture, not the values of your parents, not the values of your neighbors, not the values of your community, not the values of your race, not the values of your ancestors, but your values, your personal values. What do you value in this life? Now, the only way to develop a sense of worthiness in this feminine is you've got to do the work. You have to go in there. You got to go into the soul, into the body, and start asking yourself, what is it I value? If I turn away from everything I've learned and just put my little blinders on and go inside, what is it that I deem a valuable life? What is that? Is it raising great kids? That was one of my values. Raising great kids was one of the top things. I did not want to repeat the same errors that I felt like I inherited. Of an emotional kind of desert. I didn't want to pass that on to my kids. So I worked my ass off to make sure that my kids did not grow up in an emotional desert like I did. Did I make other mistakes? Oh my God, yes, millions. However, I did take the family, my leg of the race forward. They are not in an emotional wasteland. They're highly emotionally intelligent kids. So I feel pride in that because that was living in alignment with my values. So that's sort of this feminine idea. And if you don't know what you value, you know, we can certainly have a one-on-one and help dissect that. We have a lot of sacred inquiry questions that can kind of take you down, and you can also find some great things online. The other thing is defining not just your values, but defining success. What makes success for you? And get into the gritty of it. How much money is that? What is the dollar amount? What is the time amount? What is the energy amount that you require to feel like you are living successfully? Because we do need money, we need time, we need energy. These are the hottest commodities in our world. And so you get to determine how much of each of those you can give, how much each of those you take, how much each of those you save, and you determine what success looks like for you. A lot of people do it differently. For my brother, what felt successful was for him to do everything in his life to retire early. It was one of his values and it was one of his success markers. And he did that. And it's beautiful. In his life, he is so proud of that fact. Were there other things? Of course. You know, we're choosing a life in alignment with our values. Not his, not mine. Other people don't have to share our exact same values. Okay, so align your values, align your definition of success, and also quieting the critic. We have to quiet the critic and give ourselves permission to recognize how valuable we are, and permission, listen to this. This is where I was like, what? One of my mentors said this to me and I was like, no, you've got to be kidding. Permission that we give ourselves to feel great about who we are. Yeah, yeah. Oh yeah. You have permission to feel great about who you are right now. Right now, your weight, your face, your skin, your everything, your bank account, right now. You have permission to feel great about who you are, about who you are. Because you are alive and breathing. You have a great gift of a body. And as we look at this shamanically, one of my mentors, Alberto Viola, used to say of one of his teachers, that, do you know how many souls are up there waiting for a body? And you have one. You're here. There's a reason for that. Sometimes we don't get to know the reason. And we can trust that there is. And it's not that we have to have achievements to prove how worthy we are. It's our sense of being. And this is what's shifting on the planet. And I'll just close with the idea of the masculine and feminine and the united vision for what is important. In the old masculine paradigm, what you were capable of, your achievements, your coming out on top is what was valued historically. So that's the whole idea of what can you do? The sense of developing, the sense of I can, I'm capable. That gave us a sense of worth. In comes the feminine energy. And this is why many people who have traditionally felt really awesome about themselves are now starting to feel a little wonky because there's this feminine energy coming into the planet. And so these big tough guys are starting to have these existential crises because the feminine offers us the wisdom of feeling good, not because of what we can do, but because of who we are, because of our being. It has nothing to do with our accomplishments or our bank account or our last name or our family history. It has nothing to do with anything. It has to do with how we are being on the planet and who we are. And that takes a lot of inner work to discover. But this is the feminine energy on the planet is begging us all to come into alignment with understanding that because of who we are valuable and incredibly worthy to this planet, to this place. So the masculine of I can combined with the feminine of I am comes into union to create this incredible sense of self-worth, incredible sense of oneness, of trust in your own being, trust in your own self, that you're going to know what the right thing to do is next, that you are going to be able to handle it. It's about our capacity and it's about our being. And so this is the journey that we have ahead of us to come into right relationship with our own value. It's easy to forget how valuable we are. We get messages all the time telling us that we won't be valuable unless you buy this, buy that, do this, do that. And if you can find a moment to step away from the media and listen to nature, observe it, listen to your soul, discover your values, discover your own definition of success, and make that one choice to do something that you know you're good at, then you will break free from the sense of low self-worth. And then all the positive affirmations might work. But you can't affirm your way out of this. It takes action. You have to do something that makes you feel good about who you are. You have to remember something of your being that makes you feel good about who you are. All right, that's it for tonight, my friends. With so much love and understanding and compassion for the journey of worthiness, I am sending you big hugs from the Naughty Shaman. And thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for listening. Please remember to like and follow on YouTube. We would love for you to just subscribe to that channel where podcasts come out every Wednesday morning, unless somebody happens to be in the hospital, which was the case last week. So we are back up and running and can't wait to see you. I'd love to hear the things that you do in the comments to get back that sense of worthiness. All right. Ciao for now. And thanks for tuning in to Naughty Shaman, where we like to keep the sacred a little bit wild and totally real. If you're hearing this message, you've listened to the entire episode. And for that, we are so grateful. Please reach out to us. Let us know what topics you'd like to see covered in our future episodes. Get in touch in the comments because we love to hear from you. And you can reach us on social media.